Glory to God. Open up your Bibles, if you will, please, to the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. I'm going to give this sermon title because I've had about four this week I was intended on giving. I forgot every one of them. So I'm going to start out by telling you what the title of this one is so I won't forget it. Stepping Stones or Stumbling Blocks. The title of this message. Praise God. I've been preaching a good bit this week on the benefits of the cross in one form or another, how wonderful it is to serve God and all the marvelous things that He does for us if we'll just reach out in faith and receive what He has for us. But you know, there's another side of that coin, and that's the side we're going to look at this morning. There's a responsibility on our part to respond to the love of God.
Amen.
He sheds abroad the love of God in our heart by the Holy Ghost. We have a response to Him, and this is our responsibility to God, and that's what I want to preach on this morning. Stepping stones or stumbling blocks. Matthew, the 16th chapter, begin reading with the 21st verse. For that time forth began Jesus to show them and to His disciples how that He must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But He turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense or a stumbling block unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. Bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray now this morning, O God, the Spirit of the Lord would come and rest upon this, Your servant, that You would anoint me, O God, with the Holy Ghost and power, that I might
Hallelujah.
Preach the Word, O God, and
yes,
the power
Lord.
Demonstration of the Spirit of God, that the Word of God would go forward and lodge in our hearts, that it would spring to life, O God, conforming us to the image of Christ, moving us closer to Him, where we ought to be in Him. God, that our lives will bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus, and that we can reach this lost and dying world for Christ. For we ask these things in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. You know, Peter on this occasion found himself in a very peculiar position, because in his efforts to do what he thought was being helpful, he actually became an advocate. He actually became an enemy. He actually became a stumbling block to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he did not have his mind set upon heavenly things, but he had him set upon the natural things of life. Peter actually did this to the extent that Jesus turned to Peter, one of the 12 disciples, and said, Get thee behind me, Satan. Now that's pretty strong.
Amen.
But Peter, at this time, was thinking he was doing what was helpful to the Lord. Peter really thought he knew what he was doing, that he was trying to help Jesus, that he was trying to prevent Him from going to the cross.
Yes.
And that he was doing the thing which was right. But see, Peter wasn't tuned in on God. Peter didn't have his mind on the thing of God. If he'd have been tuned in on God, he'd have known it was God's will for Jesus to go into suffering.
Amen.
He would have known exactly what was going on. But he wasn't. Peter temporarily had slipped back into the old man. And in his zeal to do something for God, he became a stumbling block instead of a stone.
Yes.
And you know, I believe this situation didn't just come into Peter this morning. I think every one of us, if we'd be honest, would find that we have been in the same boat, in the same shoes.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, honesty is the best policy with God. I'll tell you that for sure.
That's right.
It profits you nothing to think you're something that you're not.
Amen.
It profits you nothing to try to say, I have not sinned, I'm perfect, I live above sin and all these things, if that is not the case.
That's right.
We need to be honest with ourselves, and we need to be honest with God.
Glory to God.
Praise God. But see, we find ourselves on occasions when we really are trying what we think is trying to help God or do further the kingdom of God, actually becoming stumbling blocks instead of stepping stones. Because we get our minds off temporarily of what really counts, and we get them on natural things and earthly things. We don't keep our eyes on Jesus. And when your eyes slip off of Jesus, you don't know where you're going or what you're doing. But this morning, praise God, Jesus of Nazareth has never rebuked anybody and just left them in that state.
That's right.
He rebuked Peter, but he didn't stop there. And if somebody rebukes you and they stop there, I begin to wonder who's doing the rebuking.
Yes.
Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit of God and God the Father, always rebuke in love.
Yes, that's right.
Praise God. They rebuke in love. They love us and they want us to do what's right. God wants us to walk according to His will. So He rebukes us. He gets on to us. He chastens us that we will do what's right for our good because He loves us.
Yes.
And He knows the consequences of those actions. He knows that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Yes.
Therefore, God rebukes in love. And if the rebuke isn't coming out of love, you might check on where it's coming from. Praise the Lord. But Jesus doesn't just rebuke. He'll leave you hanging there in your condemnation.
Right. Amen.
And He didn't do that in this portion of Scripture either. He went on to explain to Peter and to the other disciples how that they could become stepping stones instead of stones.
Oh, hallelujah.
Praise God. And that's what I'm going to attempt to do this morning, according to this little portion of Scripture this morning. To tell us how to be stepping stones instead of stumbling blocks. Because that's exactly what Jesus went on to say in verse 24. The first step to being a stepping stone is self-denial. Self-denial. Deny thyself. Deny yourself. You know, there is no such thing as a Christian who does not have self-discipline.
Right.
You have to exercise self-discipline if you expect to make heaven.
Amen.
Paul said, I have to buffet my body. I have to beat my body. I have to bring it under subjection, under my spirit, because my body does not automatically come under subjection under my spirit. This is hanging loose and doing my own thing and doing what I feel like doing is not according to the Word of God.
Right.
There is no such thing in God's Word as doing your own thing. The thing in God's Word is doing the will of God.
That's good preaching. Amen.
Praise God. Self-discipline is part of the gospel and you cannot divorce it from it. God does a lot of things for us, but He expects us to do some things for ourselves. And one thing I can do is I can tell my body what to do. I can deny myself the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
Now, my body does not like to pray. I walk when I pray. If I pray 3 or 4 hours a day, I'll log a lot of miles. I'm tired. That's sometimes why I'm tired when I come to the service. I may have prayed 4 hours that day, and I walk about half shoe leather off my soul. But you know why I do that? I do that most of the time because of my body, see, it doesn't cooperate with my spirit. My spirit knows I want to pray and I need to pray. And I can sleep 24 hours and get up and take an ice cold shower and drink a pot coffee and be absolutely wide awake to the point my eyeballs are about to pop out of my head. And I can get out on my knees to pray in 10 minutes. I'm so sleepy I can't hardly hold my eyes open. So I said, you know what? I can do something about that. I've never seen anybody able to sleep very soundly when they're walking. So I walk when I pray. Praise God. That's what I mean about self tonight. You've got to discipline yourself. If I have to walk to pray, I'll walk. But I'm not going to quit praying just because my body doesn't want me to.
Amen.
Praise God. Self-denial is part of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a natural order of things in the world. And that is me first, others second, then God third if I've got time for it. Now that's the way the world thinks. But now there's a different There's a different lineup on the other side of the coin when you come into the kingdom of light.
Yes.
It's God first.
Amen.
Absolute sovereign of the universe. I'm no longer my own. But I'm His. I've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus. I'm no longer Lord of my life, but Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
I stepped off the throne. The big I, my ego, is no longer running this thing. I'm out of the way, and Jesus is ahead. He's running. Praise God. God's first. And He won't play second fiddle to anybody.
Amen.
God's going to be first, or He's not going to be.
That's right.
God first. Others second. And then be last.
That's right.
That's God's order of things. I'd like to read you a verse of Scripture in Philippians. The second chapter, the third and the fourth verse. I want you to listen carefully to what it says here. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's the heavenly way of doing things. That's the godly way of doing things. Get your mind off yourself. There's no room for self-centered people in Christianity. We're to be looking out, not in.
Yes.
Praise God. That's the way it works this morning. We've got to deny ourselves some things that we want to serve God and to serve others.
That's right.
Praise God. We've got to deny ourselves praise and glory because that belongs to the Lord. If there's any good thing in me this morning, it came down from the Father. Why?
Glory.
And if I have any part that I can brag on this morning, it's on a hill called Mount Calvary. Hallelujah. It's on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
Glory to God. If there's anything worth anything in me, it's Jesus of Nazareth has made it there. It's come by the grace of God. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I've got to deny myself praise and glory because I don't deserve it. If there's anything praiseworthy within me, it came through the cross, not through me. Praise God. I've got to deny myself my own desires and my own will when they conflict with the will of God. And that's not easy to do. Sometimes we want things so bad we can taste them, but God knows that's not what we need. And there is a conflict between our will and our desire and the will and desire of God.
That's right.
I've got to deny myself at that point, my desires and my will, and go with God. I've got to deny myself and line up with the will of God. Self-denial is part of the gospel. I have to deny myself even the right of life if it comes down to that. There's been thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Christians throughout the ages, from the time of the early church in apostolic days to the day in which we live, which have sealed their testimony with their blood. And God expects no less.
That's true. Right.
You don't have to amen me, but it's nevertheless true. God expects you, if you're a servant of His, if called upon, to lay down your life for the gospel's sake. Glory to God. That's part of the self-denial, see? I deny myself the right to live if it conflicts with the will of God. And the will of God is for me not to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it comes down to having to seal my testimony with my blood, God expects me to do it. But I'll tell you something this morning. There's never been a man ask for this kind of thing, and there's never been a man call for it or forfeit his life because of his testimony that the grace of God was not sufficient to carry through that thing.
Amen.
Glory to God. God's grace is always sufficient.
That's right.
You might not think you could do that now, but if you're a servant of God, you could if the time came because He'd give you the grace to do it.
Amen.
Praise God. Self-denial is part of the gospel. Self-discipline, we've got to get a hold of ourselves. You just can't let yourself run the way you want to run. You'll run afoul if you do that. We've got to get a hold of ourselves. Deny ourselves. And then He goes on to say, and take up our cross. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ brought to Him much suffering and heartache and heartbreak.
And we're no greater than our Lord. And God didn't guarantee us a bed of roses or easy street when we stepped into this thing in the first place.
That's right.
He said there might be some hard places. In fact, he said there would be some hard places. Those that live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We've got to expect these things. That's part of bearing the cross. Paul said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. Praise God, we're always willing to know him that way. Man, I love to feel the power of God go to the top of my head and the tip of my toe.
Amen.
My feet get something in them besides my shoes. And I have to cut a ladder or something like that. I love to feel virtue and power flowing into me. Praise God. I love that resurrection power. So does everybody else. But he didn't stop there. He wanted to say in the fellowship of his son. Paul wanted to know Jesus in every way he could know him. There's a way that you can learn to know Jesus in the midst of suffering that you cannot know him in the power of the resurrection. Glory to God. And that's part of bearing the cross. Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 10th through the 12th verses read, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets,"
yes,
"which were before you." Praise God. Instead of getting down in the mouth and turning around and cussing God and getting mad at him and everything else when things go hard, try to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. Hallelujah. And just realize that, praise God, I've been counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ.
Yes.
That's what the apostles said in the early church when they took them and beat them and kicked them around and all and then let them go. They came back rejoicing. Now, that's kind of stupid, but they did it. They came back rejoicing to the other disciple because they were counted worthy to suffer for the name.
That's right.
How many of us would count it a privilege to be able to suffer in the name of Christ this morning? You're not going to make heaven if you don't take up your cross and follow it. It's not going to be easy street. It's not always going to be a smooth road. There's chug holes in the road to heaven just like there is in every other road. And we got to take the bumps along with the blessings. Praise God that when you do, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because great are your rewards in heaven. You can't give a cup of water in the name of the Lord without receiving a reward for it. Don't
That's
thank
right.
God didn't know all about it.
Praise God.
Don't think it hadn't been recorded in the book of life. Don't think it hadn't been written down. It's there. Hallelujah. And it's going to get its reward. Hallelujah. Praise God. Bearing the cross is part of it. And then he says, follow him. No matter where the road leads, follow him. Follow Jesus. Hallelujah. He is at the helm. Now, he is the good shepherd, and we're the sheep, and we are to follow him. But praise God that he's the good shepherd. He's going to take care of the sheep.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. If you'll just follow Jesus, he'll take care of you. A good shepherd takes care of the sheep. He backs off the wolves and the bears and the lions and the tigers. He takes them to water. He takes them to food. He watches over them at night while they sleep. A good shepherd takes care of the sheep. Glory to God. And if you're following Jesus wherever he leads you, he's going to take care of you. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you're following the Lord wherever he tells you to go, every promise in the book is yours. Glory to God. Every promise in this book is yours if you're following the Lord.
Yes.
If you're obedient to his will and following him, I don't care where it leads you. If you'll just never look at where it's leading, but who's leading, and follow him.
Amen.
Praise God. Every promise in the book is yours, and there's benefits that go along with it. The peace of God is yours if you're following him. Glory to God. He is ever abiding presence is yours. If you're following God, he'll never leave you nor never forsake you. 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to follow Jesus through the grave one of these days if he tarries. If he doesn't, I'm going to go up. But I'm going to follow him either way.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. But yea, even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm following the good shepherd. He's right there with me. Glory to God. He cares for me. If we're following him. He's a comfort to us if we're following him. And praise God, he's coming back for those
who Amen.
Glory. Glory to God. I get excited about the coming of the Lord. John 14, 1 to 3 says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah Amen. To God. We may be here now, but we're not always going to be here if we're following Jesus, because he's coming back personally to get those who are following him.
Yes.
Glory. Praise God. We've got a place to go. It's going to make the best thing this world's got to offer look sick. Glory to God. And it's eternal. It never ceases. It never tarnishes. It never grows old. Praise God. If we'll just follow him, Scripture says, there's benefits to it. I never knew what happiness was till I started following the Lord. I never knew what peace was. I never knew what joy was. I never knew what life was all about. I used to think I was having fun. But it was always empty. Everything I tried ended up with a hollow feeling down in my soul, with a vacuum there. It always ended up that way. It always turned sour on me before it was over. Never was what it was cracked up to be. But praise God, Jesus has been everything he said he was and more.
Amen.
I can't even express to you what Jesus means to me this morning. Life is new and fresh every day in the Lord. I never had fun until I met Jesus. People say, oh, I can't live that. Look at all I've got to give up. Give up, Buck. Look at all you get, man. Praise God. I never gave up nothing. Well, that means the very lip of hell would have thrown me in there if I faithful to work.
Amen.
Well, never get a pain for me, but give me heartache and heartbreak.
That's right.
Crown, suffering, for all it ever did for me. Amen. And leave me kicked to the side empty and used up when it was all over. But praise God, since I've come to Jesus, hallelujah, I know what life is all about. It's a privilege and joy to serve him. It's a privilege to serve Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It's a privilege for me to take up my cross, to follow him, hallelujah, to deny myself. Because I've got it so much better now than I had been. There's not even a comparison. Besides all that, Jesus concluded this portion of Scripture with a very solemn warning. He didn't stop with just a general rebuke. He went on to say, if we don't choose him, there's really no other choice anyway. Because what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I know a man a few months back that was supposed to be the richest man in the world that would have traded every penny of it 10 times over for one more day of life. But he couldn't do it. He would have cast it all aside and been in poverty the rest of his life. He had just gone on living. What will a man exchange for his soul this morning? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Right.
The only currency we've got to buy a ticket to heaven is the blood of Jesus.
Right.
Glory to God. So after all, what choice is there other than taking up the cross, denying yourself and following Jesus? What other course is there? The other course is going downhill, catapulting as fast as you can right into the lake of fire.
Right.
That's going to be your state if you don't follow the Lord. But praise God, God's concerned about you this morning. He is. And he doesn't want you to be a stumbling block. He wants you to be a stepping stone.
Amen.
The choice is ours this morning. The choice is ours. Are we going to be stumbling blocks for people trying to find their way to Calvary? Or are we going to be stepping stones? Are we going to be stumbling and falling all the time? Are we going to be on top of it? Praise God. Jesus not only rebukes, he goes on to tell you how to do it. If you want the best God has to offer, you give him your best, and he will keep his end of the bottle.
Amen.
Praise God. I'd like to give a hand back.